Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Steve Kathan. There's a new proposal for a tougher standard for automatic braking in new vehicles, just out from government safety regulators and Carlson's general counsel for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It's going to require that these systems fully avoid other vehicles at up to 50 miles per hour when a driver fails to react. If a driver brakes some, but not fully enough to avoid a collision, the system would have to avoid another vehicle at speeds up to 62 miles per hour.
In Washington, the focus is on the House, but senators are also weighing in on the deal to raise the debt ceiling. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham.
I don't want to become the party of Joe Biden's defense budget, so I will oppose it. It's at least $50 billion short just to maintain inflation.
House Speaker McCarthy expressed confidence this morning that the full House will pass the measure later on today. CBS's Weijia Jiang.
The White House is very clear-eyed that it is not going to be an easy fight, but the fact is that for all of the talk about whether this is a bad deal for Democrats, none of those in the Democratic Party, even the left-leaning progressive caucus, are willing to say, publicly at least, that I am not going to vote for this bill. They haven't gone that far yet.
The Justice Department has sued West Virginia Governor Jim Justice's coal empire over allegations it failed to pay more than $7 million in environmental fines. Civil action cites the governor's son and 13 companies. A medical coding change could limit reconstruction options for women who've lost a breast to cancer and want to avoid implants. CBS News correspondent Anna Werner.
The only women who'd be able to get this reconstruction are women who could pay cash, and it could be tens of thousands of dollars in cash. Women who have insurance, if they could find a doctor to even do it, many of these doctors were saying they couldn't do it because of the amount of money that would be left in terms of insurance reimbursement.
A government agency holds a hearing on this tomorrow. Overseas, reinforcements for NATO in a violent corner of the Balkans.
This is why NATO is sending more peacekeeping troops to northern Kosovo after dozens of troops and protesters were injured during violent protests. The Serbs are a minority in Kosovo as a whole, but a majority in the north. Many still oppose Kosovo's independence from the Serb Republic. The recent installation of ethnic Albanian mayors, elected when the ethnic Serbs boycotted the vote, just the latest flashpoint. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
And on Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 259 points. The NASDAQ is off 94 points. This is CBS News.
There are over 10,000 reasons why steel is not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot. There are over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot trademarks of their respective companies.
Saluting Vets is brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Starting back in high school, Risha Sharma traveled across the country honoring World War II veterans, hoping to do so before it was too late.
It's amazing how much history and knowledge is encased in each one of these individuals and how much is lost when one of them dies without sharing their story.
O'Reilly has more than 80 specialty loaner tools for your next repair. Refundable deposit required. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
So you just used bug spray in your home. Now what? Well, between the waiting and waiting for things to dry up and keeping your family away from the mess, it hits you. You could have used Zevo. Unlike other bug sprays that stick around, Zevo goes from kill to clean in seconds. Plus, it's safe for use around people and pets when used as directed. Zevo, people friendly, bug deadly.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Our mascot for the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball team, Roscoe P. Rafter, welcomed the team's newest Fans for Life on Monday. The larger-than-life mascot visited the Aspirus Riverview family birthplace on the Rafters' opening day, May 29th, to present season tickets for life to the babies born that day. The beaming mothers posed for a picture holding little Madeline Georgianne and Eric Emmanuel, with their slightly dazed-looking fathers standing nearby. Congratulations to this year's newest Fans for Life and their proud parents. Free courses of Pfizer's Paxlovid treatment for COVID-19 will still be offered for at least another few months, even after the Food and Drug Administration granted Pfizer full approval Thursday to market the medication. The U.S. government has stockpiled millions of doses of Paxlovid. Over 14,000 new COVID-19 cases were reported each week last month, although most U.S. cases are no longer reported to health authorities. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 89. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, lows level off around 63, mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 89. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 82.
I think it's indicative.
Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bright with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
So it's not a revelatory thing to say that, what?
Nothing.
What?
I liked that you started with a big word.
Yeah, and I knew how to pronounce it.
I know. Shut your mouth and move on, whatever. I will destroy you.
That Wisconsinites are divided over politics, but how much are those political divides affecting our relationships and our well-being, and what can we do about it? Those are some of the questions that UW-Madison's Center for Communication and Civic Renewal are trying to answer, and returning to tell us about a survey they did is Michael Wagner, professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, where he directs the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
It's great to be here. Good to see you.
So, remind us what the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal is.
Our center, which it was kind of started thanks to funding from the Knight Foundation, seeks to try to understand why Wisconsin is like this, basically. So, in other words,
why are we the way that we are?
Right. We want to be revelatory and indicative about what it is that got us here. In other words, how does the way that Wisconsinites engage in their information environment, so the news they get, the people they talk to, their behaviors on social media, how do those things interact to affect what people believe to be true, what they want politically, and then what they do in terms of their participation and their voting behaviors? And so we really try to understand those things so we can shed light on the state of the state of democracy in Wisconsin and paths forward to try to make the state a better place to be.
Seems admirable. And important.
Absolutely, and difficult.
And so last fall, you guys did a statewide survey to kind of look at where we're all are with political conflict. And this is not new. I mean, I think there's been a lot of trying to uncover this for a while. But as far as recently, this is as recent as last fall. And so, like, before we get into what you guys found, how do you structure a survey like that? Like, how do you pick the cross sections and the demographics, and then also like opting in versus people who would never take a survey? Like, what does it go like? What goes into trying to get a comprehensive survey like this accomplished?
That's a great question. And it's harder and harder to get people to want to do these surveys, right? Because there's so many of them, and So many of them are political and done by politicians, where the questions are something like, if I told you that your opponent tried to push a child in front of a bus, would you be more likely to vote for them or less likely to vote for them? You know, so we don't do that sort of stuff, right? So what we do is we work with reputable survey firms that score really high on low bias. In other words, which is to say, the surveys they conduct end up performing really well when you compare them to, say, election results and things like that. So we work with firms that do that kind of work, and we say, okay, where are the large metro areas in the state? We want to make sure, of course, we cover those. Where are mid-sized cities? We want to make sure we cover those. What about rural areas? We want to make sure we cover those. And so we kind of divide the state up into a bunch of different little areas, and then we seek to interview as many people from each of those areas as we can, so that we're not just getting people from Milwaukee or just from Madison, but also from rural parts of the state, suburban parts of the state, and everything in between. And so most surveys in the state are about 500 to 800 people, and we surveyed 3,031. So we did that so that we would have way more people in rural and suburban areas than you typically get in a survey. And then to see how Wisconsin compares to the nation, we did a random sample of 2,900 U.S. residents so that we could compare Wisconsin to the rest of the country. And so we did a survey right before the 2022 elections. And then we contacted as many of those people, both from Wisconsin and nationally, as we could in March, and asked them the same questions again to see how the stability of that looks over time.
All right. Well, then with that, let's talk about what you guys found. And so as far as let's start with the bad so we can end with maybe the good, as far as sure. What were some of the more grim aspects of what you found with the survey?
So one thing that really surprised us, because Wisconsin is such a participatory state, like we're always in the top two or three for voter turnout, and we're always a high participating state generally in terms of other kinds of civic engagement, whether that's politics or church or schools or whatever. We found that a quarter of Wisconsinites say that they avoid participating in politics because they're afraid they like of what might happen to them while they're out participating. And that's especially higher among Black Wisconsinites and those who are members of religious minorities. And so there are people who say, like, I'd love to knock on doors, or I'd love to go to a protest, but I'm afraid that I might get shot or hurt or something else. And so they don't do it. And so there's some people who just don't. I think that's probably maybe the grimmest finding of the survey. Another one that I think is a more general measure of how things are in the state is that 60% of Wisconsinites have stopped talking about politics with someone with whom they disagree. Right. So they'll still talk about the Packers or the weather or, you know, Memorial Day boating and brat eating, but they won't talk politics anymore. That's double what it was in 2012. And one in six of us have just outright ended a friendship or ended a familial relationship over political disagreement. That's higher for Democrats than Republicans in the state. And so we don't, you know, people end relationships for different kinds of reasons. Right. Sometimes it's because they don't want to hear what the other side has to say. And that's not very healthy for a democracy. Other people end relationships because the person they're ending the relationship with makes them feel unsafe or is communicating to them in a way that makes them feel that their identity isn't valid or doesn't deserve the same rights as other folks. And so it's hard to know exactly why people are ending relationships. But if you're in a line at a grocery store and you're sixth in line, one of the people in front of you or you has ended a friendship or family relationship in Wisconsin over political disagreements, which is, I think, pretty striking.
That is striking. And we're talking to Michael Wagner, who is a professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison and also one of the directors at the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal, about a survey they've done across Wisconsin trying to look at our political divides and how it's affecting people's relationships and well-being. And so in the two that you just said, as far as 60% saying that they just won't talk politics anymore, isn't there an argument to be made that that's better than just ending the relationship? Like, if you can choose, because I was trying to think about this as I was reading the results of like the people that are, especially people who are more like acquaintances where we have the similar social groups, where there's just certain people where I know I know, I see what they post on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They see what I post on Facebook. But we're just going to, we're in the same social circle. And when we're together, and honestly, when we're together, I always have lovely conversations with them. And we just don't talk politics. And so, like, is that a bad thing?
I don't know that it's... I don't know that it's wholly a good thing or wholly a bad thing. I think, you know, generally, if we can maintain relationships with people who are different than us, that's probably more good than bad, right? It helps us see life from their point of view. It helps us find places where we can come together and agree on things. And if there are places where we can get along, it just makes it harder to demonize those other folks, right? So if I don't want to talk politics with you because we disagree about an issue that's really important to me, but our kids can play together, or we can sit next to each other at a, you know, neighborhood concert or something. That's good for keeping the civic fabric healthy. But if we absolutely cut folks out, especially just because we don't want to hear what they have to say, you know, that makes it a lot easier to buy into the demonization of the other side. It makes it a lot easier to think that their views aren't legitimately held, that or they're just a bunch of rubes who are being lied to and persuaded by people who have, you know, nefarious intent. And some of that sometimes is true, but other times it's just people value different things than other people do. Individuals vary, right? And so we need that kind of variance to both maintain stability and have innovation in any society. But when we completely break down and aren't willing to talk to others, it's more problematic than not.
And how much, I don't know how much this was vetted out in the survey, but even through your own experience, are we just not very, a lot of us just aren't equipped to have difficult conversations, like how to navigate things when we do disagree and to have that be okay instead of it escalating to a fight or have it be such a personal affront to our like core belief system. And like, if we disagree on this, like I can't be friends with you because we have different values, or like, I don't know how to like engage in this conversation without having a bunch of emotions rise up. Like, did that come up in any of the surveys?
That's come up in other kinds of data we gather where we do these longer in-depth interviews one-on-one with people. We've done about 300 of these across the state. And there, what we really are learning are that people have really complicated reasons for some of the views that they hold. And other times the views that they hold, you know, maybe aren't so strongly held. And like you ask somebody a question in a survey and you say, well, gosh, I guess I don't want to sound stupid. I'll answer this question. But, you know, if you ask me how much I care about this issue, I'm going to say not much. Right. And so sometimes, you know, the answers we give in surveys are driven by just what's at the top of our head at the time. And other times they're driven by these deep seated ideas about what's really important to us. Right. And so one thing that we've learned is like, so say for an issue like abortion in Wisconsin, where about a quarter of Democrats say that was the most important thing to them in the last election. And you ask them, why do you hold the views they have? They can tell you why. And if you ask them about their position about another political issue, they might tell you a position, but they have way less to say about why they hold it, right? So people vary in how deeply dedicated they are to issue positions, and they vary in how the roots of their preferences are planted, right? Sometimes it's like the most important thing to me is individual freedom, or the most important thing to me is equality. And not all issues are about those things. And so sometimes we hold issues close and sometimes we don't. And so I think it's easy to think we're all polarized about everything all the time, but that's just not the way it is. We tend to hold a few issues tight to our chest, and the rest of them tend to be more transient.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about the hopeful things, the good things that you found in the survey, because it was not all grim. And so our guest is Mike Wagner, who is a professor of journalism and mass communications and also a director at the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal. We'll be right back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Figure out what it's all about.
What it's all about.
Because we're one in the same.
One in the same.
Same joy, same pain. And I hope that you're there when I need you. Because maybe we need amnesia. And I don't want to sound like a preacher, but we need to be one. One world, one love, one passion, one tribe, one understanding, 'cause you and me.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Visit the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center Friday, June 2nd to see the Charlie and Howard duo at their first Music on the Patio event. Tickets are $10 and include one drink ticket. Kids 12 and under are free. Seating is limited, so plan to bring a lawn chair. Visit the Southwood County Historical Museum on the opening day of the Navajo Code Talkers exhibition with a presentation by their military historian William Parker on Sunday, June 4th from 2 to 4 p.m. This exhibit is free and open to the public on Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. starting June 4th through June 29th.
Paw prints happen, but stains don't have to. Our pet-friendly fabrics available at Home Furniture Design are stain-resistant. Fabric for everyday life, easy to clean, and no more worries. So come into Home Furniture Design in Wisconsin Rapids or Plover and mention you want pet-friendly or kid and husband-friendly fabrics, and we'll help you design your new furniture today. Home Furniture and Design. Live life comfortably.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Nine, lots of sunshine. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. He is Greg Bach. And we are talking to Mike Wagner from the Center for Communication and Civic Renewal about a survey they did both last fall, but then again this March, and some of the grim findings, and then the more hopeful findings as far as where Wisconsinites are in our political divides and how it's affecting our lives. And so as far as the more hopeful things, Mike, that you guys found, what can we be positive about?
I think there's a few different things. So one is that despite the attention from the former president and some of our state lawmakers and some of the tax money we had to spend about who won the last election, 80% of Wisconsinites are very confident that their votes are counted, that other people's votes are counted, that the election was properly conducted. This is true for Republicans. This is true for Democrats. This is true for independents. This is true for in-person voting, mail-in voting, absentee ballots, no matter how people voted or even asking people about how others voted. Majorities of Wisconsinites across the party divide say we do our elections well, and that attitude amongst our fellow citizens squares with the evidence, and so people have accurate views about that. Another thing is that despite the many disagreements we have over a wide variety of issues, it's over 3-1 that Wisconsinites favor compromise in the legislature over lawmakers sticking to their ideological principles, even if nothing gets done. So
imagine
Wisconsinites
that.
Want compromise. Now, it's easy to say in a survey, gee, I want my lawmakers to compromise. And when we start to push and say, well, what about compromising on the thing that you care about the most? Then, you know, people are a little bit less supportive of it. But even then, people favor compromise more than they favor staying stuck in the mud. Like, they recognize, look, there are two parties. They disagree about a wide variety of things. The middle is not always the appropriate place to meet when there's a disagreement. But trying to find a compromise is preferable in the minds of Wisconsinites to not. I'd also say another good positive thing that came out of the survey is that Wisconsinites favor you know, mechanisms to make our government more representatives. And so there are large majorities of Wisconsinites, and again, this includes Republicans and Democrats, who support nonpartisan redistricting. And even when we made Republicans aware, hey, this would make it likely that there would be fewer Republican lawmakers in the state assembly and the state Senate if we had nonpartisan redistricting as compared to the current system, even then, they said, well, but this is what's fair. There are majorities across the aisle that favor a nonpartisan redistricting as well. So there are places to look, both from the policy perspective, from the how we run our elections perspective, and from the process of governing perspective that should give us some hope.
That makes me really happy, Mike. just the fact that Wisconsinites want it to be fair.
Yeah,
we don't like cheaters. It just reinforces my faith in my fellow cheesers.
Fairness is a big value in Wisconsin. I think that's something that kind of shines through our surveys. And I guess one other positive thing, we started talking about how, you know, 6 in 10 of us stopped talking politics with folks, and 1 in 6 of us just end a friendship or family relationship. About 15% of us have tried to restart a conversation. So even if we do cut people out, it may not be forever. People are willing to try to give folks a second chance and rekindle relationships after some time has passed. Usually election season is a pretty hot and heavy time for people to have disagreements about politics. And once those are over, even though politicians live in an era of perpetual campaigning, the citizens don't. And so people sometimes find their way back to each other when politics is less salient.
And so what now... what does the center do? What do we do with this information?
Well, we want to use this information first to look at how things compare over time. Are things getting better, staying the same, or getting worse? We want to use this information to help lawmakers think about policy changes that might be necessary. So one thing we found in our work is that Black and Hispanic Wisconsinites, Black Wisconsinites have longer commutes to the polls. Hispanic Wisconsinites wait in line longer to vote. And so these are things lawmakers could do something about. And so we want to hopefully have some of our surveys help make things more democratic with a small d in the state. And then the next thing we're doing is we're trying to understand the roots of some of these attitudes. And so the next report that we'll release in June talks a bit about how our information use is associated with these attitudes. And what basically the spoiler alert is that those among us who are only choosing to consume news and only choosing to talk to people who are like us politically have far more extreme views across a wide range of issues than those who get information from more mainstream and diverse sources.
That's interesting, because it was as recent as last week we were talking about, is there a market for unbiased news anymore in the way that CNN and some organizations are trying to be unbiased? But it's like, is there actually people who want that? And are you saying that there are people who are still getting that, or is it
there are people who prefer to hear what both major parties' leaders have to say about things, and who prefer to hear that in a way that's not our side is right and the other side is not just wrong, but dangerous, evil, must be stopped at all costs. There's a real market for that kind of news. The question about bias, of course, is you know, biased as compared to what?
Yeah.
Right. You know, everything has a bias, right? So is it biased to say the Green Bay Packers have won a bunch of Super Bowls and the Minnesota Vikings have won 0? That's true, right? Is that biased? I'm from Minnesota, and so if you're a Vikings fan, you might say, well, gosh, why are we harping on Super Bowls, right? That's biased. But just telling you who won and who lost is not biased. But in politics, sometimes people even interpret stories about public opinion polls as biased. Oh, it shows that my candidate's losing? This news organization is biased. And so it's hard to know what the pure ideal is, and it's hard to know how to compare whether both sides are both being honest when they're expressing their views. That makes it tough.
Absolutely. All right. Well, when that survey drops, we'll have to have you back maybe next month or July. But Mike Wagner, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
My pleasure.
All right. Have a great day. All right. When we come back, State Senator Keller Royce will be here. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Alyssa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Two peregrine falcon chicks have hatched at Weston Power Plant. Brittany Merlot has more details.
Wisconsin Public Service says the first chick hatched Sunday evening, with the second chick arriving Monday morning. And in a few weeks, the Weston Power Plant chicks will officially receive their names and identification bands. This year's Falcon class is being named after Wisconsin's most voted and loved college mascots. A total of 442 chicks have been born at WPS and We Energy's power plants in Wisconsin and Michigan since the company's Peregrine Falcon recovery programs began in 1992.
The world's largest potato masher was installed this month at the Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover. Stevens Point News reports the almost 39-foot-tall kitchen utensil represents the exploration that will take place in the nearly completed center. Their goal is to promote agricultural literacy, increase the understanding of the origins of our food, and deepen the relationship between farmers and consumers. I'm Alyssa Kay for Civic Media News.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Radio advertising can change your business in a flash. Go from waiting around to no time to spare in no time flat. Do you have an event, need to hire, or have a message you need to get out? Call me, Ashley, today, 715-295-4922, because marketing starts early.
You should call my mom. She's good at this advertising stuff.
Call me today, 715-295-4922, and let's get started.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 89. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, lows level off around 63, mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms, highs level off around 89. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 82.
Evan Gwaeke was here yesterday, and I made a joke with him as far as how long he's served and the fact that he still has as much hair as he has. Have you started going gray yet because of the Joint Finance Committee?
Well, I feel like I started going gray during Act 10.
Fair.
And then having three kids, and now there's like nothing left. I'm just like a shell of a person.
Well, on that note, I guess, how's it been going since we last spoke to you? As far as I think the last time you were on, the public hearings had completed. And yes. The conversations were starting as far as what was going to be in the legislature's budget, aka the GOP budget. And we've seen 500 different things that were in Governor Evers' budget not make it. We saw paid leave is not even going to be studied.
Yeah.
What are some highlights right now as far as some things that still could be in there that should be celebrated, or at least we should look forward to?
Well, the legislature, the good thing is the Finance Committee has really not debated a lot of the big contentious areas, areas that I think are really, really critically important for Wisconsin. So I'm thinking about like public K-12 funding, right? We have not done the Department of Public Instruction yet. We have not done K-12 funding. We haven't done the University of Wisconsin yet. We haven't done childcare counts, which is the critically important childcare funding that will hopefully keep open our childcare industry. So these are all things that the Republicans could decide to put money into. Remember, we have an almost $7 billion surplus, and the Republicans really haven't spent any of it yet. In fact, they've been cutting position authority from a lot of state agencies. Last week, they basically gave a green light to tax cheats by not appropriately funding the Department of Revenue to go after out-of-state corporations and wealthy people that don't pay their fair share into Wisconsin, even in many cases, people who agree that they owe this. Mm-hmm. So there have been just a lot of like missed opportunities where they have not provided funding or even provided an effective cut in funding, like for the Wisconsin Technical College system, which to me just seems crazy in a time when you have a workforce shortage and we are trying like the Dickens to keep young people in state. We should not be cutting our higher educational institutions that help workers upskill and help young people have a pathway into family supporting careers.
When did we develop so much affection for tax cheats?
I know.
It blows my mind. It just blows my mind.
I mean, don't we want the FIBs paying their fair share? Like, this is Wisconsin.
We're certainly paying them enough money in taxes when it comes to buying weed there.
Patriots fans, get their money. Otherwise, we're the ones shouldering the burden. It's unfortunate to see because, again, this is not a time when we have to be worried about cutting and pinching every penny. And all of those agents, had we hired those professional staff, it would have made hundreds of millions of dollars for the state. At virtually no cost to state taxpayers, this would be money coming in from out of state. But unfortunately, I do not have all of the votes on joint finance. That's why Gwaeke and I don't make all the decisions.
In the past, the Republicans have given surplus money back out to the people in ways of like child tax credits and housing tax credits and whatnot, which just kind of, it's like, oh, cool, I got $13 back. Thank you very much. Are they
great? Too bad about not counting my schools, but sure.
Yeah, exactly. But here's your $13. Enjoy. Do you hear any rumblings of any sort of giveaway, like rebate thing from their end, saying we got to give back to the people directly, and it'll be through this way, whatever that way might be?
We haven't heard anything about a direct like rebate. But, you know, Republicans, they get kind of fixated on these crazy, reckless ideas, like bumper sticker economics, trickle down economics. That was something that just never worked. It's been thoroughly disproven. Mm-hmm. And we've got right now some legislators pushing this wacko idea of a flat tax, which, of course, is just functionally a massive giveaway to the wealthiest people and the biggest corporations to essentially not not pay their fair share. So, I mean, what concerns me is the idea that they're going to basically take this once in a lifetime surplus, and instead of investing it back into the public institutions that all of us rely on and need, and that have frankly been underfunded for decades, they're going to just throw that money away as a giveaway to the wealthiest corporations and individuals. And, you know, and then that's going to mean a huge hole in the budget for every biennium that follows.
One of the best jokes I heard last Christmas was, let your kids believe in Santa Claus. There's grown men out there who still believe in trickle-down economics.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, oh, I know some of those guys.
Yeah. I mean, I was just watching a video.
I do too. Yeah. Some of them are very nice.
I was just watching a video on the national level where a senator or a congressman was just basically holding this person's feet to the fire saying, the Trump tax credits did not work, right? They did not work. And they kept on trying to wiggle their way through, like, this does not work. And they finally go, you're right. You're right. Because well, they had no choice. And in those tax cuts, that trickle down economics in their lay.
Because even in Wisconsin, I did a story on this a couple years ago now, but it's still in place, is the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit, which is a huge windfall for some of our richest people in Wisconsin. And there is no job requirement tied to, like, the argument for it is these are the people who are creating jobs, but there is no requirement in order to receive that tax credit to have created a single job.
Well, exactly. You see, Kristen, you don't understand freedom. You see, freedom is getting that free money while having the freedom not to do anything. You're free from doing something while having the freedom to get free money. That's freedom, Kristen.
And we have the freedom to pay their fair share for them.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Exactly. And so it just, I had a whole diatribe on this last week as far as how I don't like being jealous of Minnesota. Like, it's not a good feeling of being jealous of Minnesota. But at least last week, as they signed a, you know, revolutionary budget, I was a little jealous last week. And so how do you think there's any silver lining there as far as to our neighbors to the west? We can see what this kind of investment is going to do for the state and have that much more evidence to be like, see, we could be doing that. Look at what it's done for population, or look at what it's done for working age population, for families. Is that at least one positive out of the discrepancy between our two states?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have enough evidence to see that Minnesota's approach worked far more effectively than Wisconsin's over the last decade. And part of the reason that they had so much more money as a surplus in their budget.
$10 million, no, $10 billion more, right?
Yeah, they didn't reject billions in federal funds. And so when things like the ARPA money during COVID was distributed, and, you know, for Medicaid, they've already expanded Medicaid, right? And so they're actually getting more money for a lower investment from their taxpayers. And so the advantage that they've built up over the last 10 years is only going to be magnified, because now they're making amazing investments in Minnesotans. And, you know, it's tough because my stepdaughters both went to college in Minnesota. They loved it. And it's like, I don't know if we're ever going to get them to come back to Wisconsin. One's off to Seattle and the other one's very happy in Minnesota. And it's hard to blame them.
Yeah.
When, you know, that state is really moving forward, and Republicans wonder, like, why aren't young people voting for us? Why don't they support us? Well, it's because your policies are terrible for young people. You're spending all your time banning abortion and attacking birth control. And you're saying that, you know, gay teens and Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret are the problem.
So, Senator, you just mentioned before that, just mentioned now that you have the evidence to show that the policies aren't working in our favor and working in their. When did you ever expect, this is a real quick question, when did you ever expect the GOP to look at evidence? I'm just asking.
I haven't really ever expected that, but I do think, I mean, you know, the Republican Party has just moved so far right. And I think there's a disconnect between actual people who vote Republican, who I think do value higher education. They would be thrilled if their kids went to a UW school, who want their public education to be well-funded. They want clean drinking water. And then the Republican politicians who come into this building and then just go absolutely crazy to the furthest extreme of their party. And they're like, yes, ban all abortions and birth control's next. You know, that's the disconnect that gerrymandering creates, right? Mm-hmm. It takes the, you know, everyday Wisconsinite out of the picture.
Yeah.
So.
And that's the thing, like, because I know that there's conversations as far as if we actually were to get fair maps, there's no guarantee that Democrats would get the majority in the state legislature, right? But it's like, you know, for me, it comes down to having people.
What? And in a purple state. And nor should we have a stranglehold on power in a purple state.
Absolutely. No, but I think the thing for me is you at least in having more fair districts, you have people who are more in touch. So even if you are a Republican, being more responsive, understand not being so isolated into your Republican conservative stronghold of this is how everybody thinks because this is the echo chamber I live in, mm-hmm. is right. This is what's creating just such a disconnect from very popular policies versus mm-hmm. who holds the majority. And it's not even just the party. It's the type of conservative that people in that party who are elected are right now. And so as far as things, at least it's not all doomsday. Like, what would you say some other kind of like, what's keeping you positive right now, Senator?
Well, you know, I think in the long run, Wisconsin does have a huge surplus, which is great. We have wonderful institutions that we could choose to fund. The governor has a mighty veto pen, and he could certainly choose to veto parts of the budget or all the budget if they don't make the investments that are necessary in K-12, in University of Wisconsin, in the things that are going to help help Wisconsin basically thrive. So.
Well, we have someone who wants to say hi to you on the phone right now.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Megs.
Hey, Kelda, it's Maggie Dawn. How are you?
Hi, Maggie. Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of the great University of Wisconsin system, you and I were indeed beneficiaries of that as we were able to go to Wisconsin Law School at an incredibly affordable price. Cheaper than almost any tier one public law school in the country. And that is part of what conservatives have been slowly whittling away. And that is the ability for middle-class people to access the most wonderfully engaged and forward-thinking, research-based institutional learning at a college and university and postgraduate level. And of course, I had to say thank you, Kelda, for everything that you're doing for Wisconsin. And hello, dear friend.
Hello. It's so wonderful to hear your voice.
What that a is small the best, world.
That's the best thing that's happened all week.
Well, you know, Maggie's going to have a show. Her show's coming back on Civic Media, so you'll have opportunity to probably go on her shows as of next week.
It's going to be so much fun.
Yes, I will be in touch. We will have some fun on the radio.
Perfect.
Thank you, Jane, and thank you, Kristen, for letting me take a couple minutes of your time. Kelda, you be well. I'll be in touch.
You too, Maggie.
Thanks, Maggie. Thanks, Maggie. All right. Well, per usual, Senator Royce, this is so much fun to have you on, even though it's, you know, there's frustrations, there's gray hairs. But as Maggie just said, fighting the good fight and not backing down and making your voice heard as far as what so many people want, even though we're not getting it, but we march on. So
that's right.
We'll see you next time. Thank you for spending some time with us today.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home.
My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Wisconsin is the place to be for basketball. Not just because the Badgers were crowned the number one team in the Big Ten last year, but also because UW Health Orthopedics and UW Hospital are ranked number one in Wisconsin. Together, we form an unstoppable team. No matter if you fracture your foot from a jump ball or strain your voice from a bad call, UW Health delivers the best care in the state. Here to help every Badger take on another season of victory. UW Health. Remarkable.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. But did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Scattered storms tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 89.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She's Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. What a small world.
Honestly, and the look on Kelda's face was just so priceless when she heard Maggie. It was like,
well, it was funny because she was so skeptical of like, why are you putting a collar on right now? We did not talk about taking live phone calls.
I feel like when Mags is around, Maggie, I don't feel like I've earned the right to call her Mags. Maggie is around. Every time she's walked in the room, people like light up, and I'm like, I want to be like
do that for people.
I want people to be happy when I'm here.
I'm happy when you're here.
I'm always happy when you're here.
I know, but I'm over you too.
I want other people to be happy.
I want new people to be excited about that.
Well, so I read this. I almost wanted to save this for Am I the Sphincter, but do you know that we're doing this on Fridays now?
I thought, what? So this Birds for You is not happening?
No, that's happening too.
Okay, cool.
So this is the...
Am I the sphincter?
Some of the new segments we have to look forward to, because as a reminder, as of Monday...
We're moving.
10 a.m. You're going to turn us on an hour earlier. Yeah.
Dirty.
10 to 12 as of Monday. We're very excited about that. But in trying to rethink different segments and what we can do, we're going to keep... We've been doing... Reddit's am I the we call it the sphincter because
yeah,
we can't, you know, FCC and all that.
ITA.
And so we've been doing that on Fridays, and we're gonna keep this Birds for You. Well, we haven't actually launched this Birds for You yet.
But we
can tease it. So this bird's gonna, you know, as we collect stories that we want to talk about on air, sometimes there's the stories where there's nothing really novel to say about them, and they're just, you know, provoking, and they're angry. They make us angry.
Tick us off.
So instead of, you know, again, FCC, we can't really say F you to these people that are making the headlines. So we're instead calling it This Bird's for You.
It's a gift.
It's a roundup of the people who made us angry in the news this week. So that'll be, I think, on Thursdays. We're going to keep three headlines and a lie. Keep our headline quiz on Fridays. We're going to do some good news. You know, we're going to have more segments.
Nice.
Recurring segments that people can look forward to.
I like it. I can't wait. And when's this all happening again?
And then obviously we also have Greg's Roundup on Wednesdays.
I'm sticking around, folks.
He's still going to be here.
Yep. You can't get rid of me.
You might be here even more.
I might be even
slight
here even more.
Who teaser. Knows?
Yes.
Slight foreshadowing of what's to come, potentially. But yeah, so that's happening on Monday. The change up for the whole civic media. I mean, some people are staying the same.
Yeah.
We have Pat Kreitlow, 6 to 8. And then Earl, 8 to 10, with a couple different local shows. And I don't have the entire lineup to go through each station.
Right.
But I know we're going to start running promos and we're going to start posting things all over social media. So you know how to find your favorite shows, whether it's on air, on your radio, or on the Civic Media app. So you can switch back and forth between the different stations to always be able to find the show that you want and the hosts that you like. Any time of the day. But
or
yes.
The Wednesday co-host.
Or the Wednesday co-host specifically.
That you really like.
But yeah, so that starts Monday. And we're very excited, which means we only have 3 more No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hours, which is coming up after the break. But before we go to the break, I wanted to read you both this gem that I saw it posted on Twitter. I have no idea if this is someone who just posted this and it's actually their story, or it was something that they heard. I don't care, because it is very funny. And maybe I'll get your, if we have enough time after I'm done reading it, you can give him a rating. Who's the sphincter in this story?
Excellent.
All right, here we go. I know I shouldn't have done this, but I'm 83 years old, and I was at the McDonald's drive-thru this morning, and the young lady behind me leaned on her horn and started mouthing something because I was taking too long to place my order. So when I got to the first window, I paid for her order along with my own. The cashier must have told her what I'd done, because as we moved up, she leaned out of her window and waved to me and mouthed, "Thank you," obviously embarrassed that I had repaid her rudeness with kindness. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
When I got to the second window, I showed them both receipts and took her food too. Now she has to go back to the end of the queue and start all over again. Don't blow your horn at old folks. Oh, they've been around a long time.
Oh my God. That's... Oh, just...
Who's the sphincter? Greg Bach is standing up. Standing ovation.
First of all, lay off your horn.
Don't honk at someone in a drive-through line. Where do you think you're going to go?
No, that's craziness. That's no. And older people, if they need anybody, if they need more time, give them some time. You'll be fine. You'll be waiting what, 30, 40 seconds longer?
But also, you don't know if it's something that's happening inside. Yeah. Sometimes there's people who are like, I can't, like, hold on for a second. You know, fast food places that are understaffed. Like,
yes.
There's so many different things that could be going on that you honking your horn, what is that going to solve? It's like being in a traffic jam on the freeway and starting to honk. It's like, do you think any of us want to be here right now? Like, what are you doing?
Where are you going to go? There's nowhere to go.
Did you already press the button for the elevator? I'll do it too. We'll see.
Yeah, let me touch it again.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a little better.
I wish she was my grandmother.
I've never heard that trick before.
I wish she was my meemaw.
The reversal on that of I went to pay for her food.
And then I took it. And as you know what I would have done just to sweeten the deal? As I'm driving away, just throw it out the window and let her see that. Just what was that about? Oh, she threw your. Oh, that's the kind of petty you can just drizzle
Jane,
over
do
pancakes.
Do you have that kind of pettiness in you?
No.
Are you gonna steal this? This for your playbook?
I don't know what the woman who was honking is going to take away from this. Unfortunately.
So would you pay for? Would you stop and pay for the food just to make her feel bad?
Probably not.
I would tell you,
so you just ignore it?
I just ignore it.
I'll tell you this. If you told me this story and you're the honker, Kristen, and you told me this, I'd be like, oh, that's pretty funny.
If I was like complaining.
Yep.
And then this 83-year-old bag
I'd be
bought
like,
my food and then took it.
I'd be like, are you listening to yourself right now?
Do you think I never honk. Mike likes to honk, and I was like, you're gonna get shot.
Or like when people like when you're at the stoplight and they honk like immediately when it goes green.
That's the worst.
Whoa, I wouldn't so angry.
All right.
Hulk smash!
Hulk smash. All right, when we come back, The No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild
WFHR lives. Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.